You're listening to Bedroom Beethovens, where notable music makers break down stories accompanied by songs and melodies documenting growth through their 10,000-hour journey. And me? Well, my name is Cello, your host.
What's up? This is J-Rock, and I'm right here. I'm chilling on the Bedroom Beethovens podcast. That's what it is. Let's go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 167 of the podcast. My guest this week is...
Anti-Lily, artist, human being, one half of Anti-Lily and Phonics, frequent collaborator with Don't Sleep, co-founder of Indigo Clan, Houston representative. Happy to be here, baby.
Like who I trust out here, friends and foes, family hold me on occasion, like where the fuck do I go? Oh, my woman love me, but she get my worst and she deserve better, cause she been riding for me through whatever, put a hand on my chest, told me baby, it's gonna get better. Oh, she motivate me to get my shit so together, and hard times don't last long, nigga, but life don't either. This for them times where I felt like I don't need
one
neither.
Day that I'ma make it out of here.
A long time coming. Finally, Anti-Lily swings through to talk about something he is beyond proud to be a part of. The debut album from Indigo Clan, entitled Over the Woods, will be available on Bandcamp and all digital platforms. Devante, God King Preach, and Anti-Lily, brothers together in the trenches. This album is dedicated to the underdogs. This is the underground sound, and I have the privilege to share their story with you guys. But before we get to that, support the podcast by interacting with the podcast. BedroomBeethovens.com is the website where you can buy merch, get a t-shirt, see past episodes, poke around. I promise you'll dig it. Visit the YouTube channel and subscribe, leave a comment, go to your favorite and preferred podcasting platform, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and rate, review, and subscribe. And last but not least, I set up a community to help this creative out at patreon.com/bedroombeethovens, where you can give a buck or two or five or ten, however generous you're feeling that particular month. And in turn, you get to join the squad, gain access to early episodes, and keep me chugging along for many, many more weeks to come. With that out of the way, I welcome the one and only Anti-Lily, H-Town. What's up? Man, hold up. One of my favorite people in the industry, and let me ask you, your name Anti-Lily, do you still like that moniker? Because when Drake came out on the scene, were you like, damn, that dude took my real name and blew that brand up, son of a bitch?
I mean, you know, a small part of you is gonna feel that. He was actually part of the reason, like, why I went with the name change. But you know, when you get there first, you know, you kind of get to stake claim, so. No shade.
Well, I've always wanted to talk to you because you said communication is your biggest weakness, and that you only feel comfortable, like you feel only comfortable, not even the most comfortable, but only comfortable when there's a mic in your hand. So I know you don't owe me, you know, any explanations or statements, and I know this might be hard, but I do appreciate you being here, and we can finally link up.
Man, absolutely. I appreciate you having me, Cello. I know it's been a while since we even touched base on a personal level, so feels good to be here, bro.
For sure. I moved to Houston last year.
You moved to Houston?
Yeah, I'm outside Katy. I'm in Richmond.
Oh, man, that's what's up. How you been liking it so far?
I love it. I should have did it sooner.
A lot of traffic, but, you know, I'm not too far from me.
The town that you grew up in, a population of less than 4,000 people, you know, and predominantly black people in the Pleasantville area of H-Town, Texas. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, man, like, you know, we moved around a lot, but, you know, East Houston, man, it's like small, it's big, it's a lot of folks, but you know everyone at the same time. So I think everyone has their own unique experience in this life. And It was a very interesting childhood, man. I was really blessed to be around a lot of the infrastructure that I had, man. And kind of being the youngest, I kind of had the leash just to kind of like get into my own shit a little bit. I don't know if it's like that with every family, but by the time you get to your second or third child, I feel like your parents just kind of lax up a bit and the conversation is like, look, man, just don't get killed. Don't get arrested. You know, come home at a reasonable time. So
this town, though, this general area, is this a hood that still embraces you? Like, let's say the people that you were making music with back in 2010, like, let's take, for instance, a person like Black Collins. When you come from a tour overseas performing with Phonics and A1, or you just dropped a project with Phonics, and someone says that you guys are this generation's reflection eternal, when you go back to the 610 loop in Eastern Houston, are you met with jealousy or admiration?
I really don't know if it's, you know, I'm sure it's always some jealousy, but like, just going back to my boy Black, that's actually one of my brothers. You know what I mean? Like, blood could make us closer. We correspond. We still keep in touch. He's still doing his own thing. Like, a person like me, you know, why I operate on a different vibration. You know, I come with a certain demeanor. So I'm not necessarily like putting myself in any environment where it's any negativity. And if it is, like, I'm going in a different, you know, direction. So I think it's all about what you choose to put yourself around and what type of, you know, environment you choose to filter into. So I really haven't felt that. It's all love everywhere I go, not just East Houston, all sides. You know?
Well, I mean, you're definitely a loyal guy. I'll tell you that. I couldn't stand working at a customer call center for more than a week, and you stayed there for like 6-7 years.
I guess that's one loyalty definition. It could be insanity. But yeah, man, even with sports, like from every little aspect, you know, I'm very, like, I like to see shit through. And you kind of need to have that feeling. Like, I just go off the field. Like, when it feels natural, like, if I feel I need to move or challenge myself or put myself in a different environment, then I'll just go off of that vibration at that time.
Yeah, because you were on your Kanye West shit, community college dropout. You went for about 3 weeks. Oh, man. Then you just left. That's not, you know, that's not even a long enough time to even know.
And I want to just take that back to your first point. It's like when you're like, the community college I went to, Cello, it was legit a block away from the high school I graduated from. So it's like you're seeing the same people. You kind of getting into the same stuff. So, like, I just needed something new. And I couldn't tell you what my major was. So I'm wasting time. I'm wasting funds. I could just be putting that energy into something else. And I decided to do that. You know, I'm not going to go against college. It wasn't for me. I feel like if you know, seek that type of education, especially in America, you have to really have an idea of, you know, what you're going for and what you really want to do. That's just my opinion, though.
It worked out for your brother, Jalen, though.
He's always done his own thing, man. That's my little big bro. That's what I call him.
So when you leave college, I mean, you were living on your own at 19, working a job you didn't even like to. Was moving back home an option, or that was just the situation you found yourself in?
Me and my big sister, we got our own apartment. So for a couple of years, you know, we were just roughing it, doing what we had to do. Working, trying to get different sources of income to come into the household. But I really feel like that was more so my college experience, you know, because essentially it's just getting out the house. Like, I moved to a completely different side of town. You know, I made new friends, you know, put myself in different situations that I probably wouldn't have been comfortable in my usual environment. So It was that's something I tend to look back on with a lot of fond memories. And my first roommate was my, you know, big sister. So you really can't beat that, bro.
You said that your biggest gift and curse is that no one, not even your closest loved ones, knew the internal battle that you fight every day. So we can include your sister in the closest loved ones. You know, maybe that was like a kind of a rough time too. Has that changed? Do you share more of yourself with people on a daily basis? Are you more forgiving of people, all that?
I want to say I'm definitely more forgiving. The path that I'm on right now, I'm a lot more comfortable with those that are, you know, truly closest to me. But at the same time, it's like going against your nature. So I would say, like, putting that awareness out there has mended a lot of relationships. It's created more understanding. And I think that's what's the most important thing is at this point.
I'm back like I never left, and I'ma give my all till it ain't no more. I'm steady pursuing even if my name don't blow. Even with no precipitation on my rain gon' show. I honestly been losing sleep for the last couple of weeks, and they say that's who the sleep is for. Shit, like a...
It's a day-by-day process. But, you know, those that know me and those that love me and those that I love know that it's not something that I do intentionally, but... You know, you naturally are going to do what comes to you. So I think I've always been more of a, like a hermited personality outside of the music.
Well, it's just, it's crazy when I kind of dig through and see the bonds that you're able to form, even given your, you know, quote unquote hermit personality. Devontae said that. He was in a rough spot where he lost his brother, and because he lost his brother, he lost belief in God and lost everything spiritual. And he didn't even know what trust was until you became his best friend and his little brother.
My little brother passed away when I was in high school, when I was at a very young age. He was in the 8th grade. I was in the 11th grade, and you know, he passed away at Sam Houston State Park here in Houston. He drowned. And I had kind of lost hope. You know, by me being the youngest, as far as being around my friends and everything, besides having my little brother, you know, I kind of lost hope. And I kind of lost my peace with everything, just feeling like, you know, why would God do this? You know, some certain things aren't real, certain beliefs aren't real. And, you know, meeting Drake, meeting Lily, shall I say, meeting Anti-Lily, coming across him, and just really understanding him just being who he is, a genuine person, a loving person, caring, understanding, and him being younger than me. But at times, his wisdom, he carries so much wisdom and so much weight in his spirit that I tend to forget that I'm older than him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, much love to the big bro, Devontae. That's one of those, you know, people that I call a friend and I call a brother, that like moving to a different side of town, like that made it possible. Even Preach, like I met Devontae through Preach, and I just think it's interesting, like how music brought us all together, and it became deeper than that. And like, it's very few people who I would, like, you know, lay it down for.
To put a nigga on Mars. No, we ain't the same, cause your bitch playing mind games. Gorilla pimping, I remain in that mind frame. True nigga, homie, hammer with the beam. Ain't got nothing to lose, I'm breaking off everything. Hey.
Honestly, I'll just say this. It's no way in this lifetime that I ever thought that somebody could replace that feeling that my little brother gave me. And Lily did that instantly. Once I realized, like, we were bonding. Once I realized, like, oh shit, we're best friends. You know what I mean? Like, so ever since then, it's not like I forgot about my brother, because that's something I could never ever do in his lifetime. But what I will say is that he passed up that pain. He passed up that feeling. You know, just to hear somebody call me big bro, but really feel like, yo, I'm your big bro. You know what I mean? It gave me a sense of peace. You know. And so every time I tell people about him and explain him as my little brother, man, it don't get no better than that. And then it make it even more greater, the fact that we're soldiers, you know, we're brothers in the field when it comes to this lyric shit, to this rap shit, to this music shit. You know, we got something in common. We have something that we have a common bond over. So, it make everything cohesive. So him being my little brother, man, I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. You know what I mean? I couldn't replace him with nobody else if he decides to leave me before I leave him, you know?
The love, the admiration, you know, the respect, it's just as mutual for Devontae. Like, it wasn't anything that was forced. It's just, you know, when you click with someone and you had that camaraderie and that brotherhood, you know, everything just comes naturally. So, especially in my adulthood, I've had some of, you know, my greatest memories with that dude right there. So, yeah, it means a lot to me that he said that.
Yeah, I interviewed Phonix a few years ago, and his statement about Don't Sleep Records not actually signing you guys to the label actually floored me. Like, I really thought that you guys were signed. Meaning, like, yeah, you can work with other artists, but ultimately, he's the Manny Fresh, you're the Lil Wayne. Not so much that you can come and go as you please. Like, that structure was always a bit weird to me, and I don't know why. Like, I guess I have this want and need for you guys to be more tied down. Like this new Indigo Clan, it doesn't really have much of A1 and Phonix on there at all.
Yeah, and that makes sense as a music fan. You know, whether we're on paperwork or we're not on paperwork, that won't change. Just as they had the vision when A and Phonix came together, you know, me and my brothers down here, we had that same vision, you know, being the Indigo artists of Houston, you know, coming from a region where, you know, when we were, you know, on the independent scene in our teens, our early 20s, you know, the industry expected a certain sound, you know, we formed a clan off of that brotherhood, off of, you know, doing shows together, traveling together. We ultimately just wanted to make our own imprint and essentially build our own name. But the association with our Don't Sleep family, that's always going to be there. Like, just like you say, you talk to A, like, that's someone I will always pick up the phone for, and vice versa. You know, that's someone, like, you could be calling A to tell him what the weather is outside, and you still going to walk away with some type of gem, you know? So people like that, you know, when you find genuine friendship, you really need to, you know, cling to that. So
yeah, I was just thinking, and maybe this is just from like a consumer standpoint, like, you got this food connoisseur from Portland, Maine, you know, a white dude with more soul than most black producers. You know, you have A1, y'all from different eras, different environments. You got black, white, old, young, with this common bond of this unmistakable passion for hip hop and music and jazz and soul. And I just think if you guys spent more time around each other or lived closer or put out more projects or toured more, I don't know, like, sign Indigo Clan, Tiff the Gift, everybody, you know? But
yeah, and it's not necessarily like a specific format, you know? Like, these are people I have a legit kinship with. Like, we've done a lot together on the road. We have toured, and if it wasn't for the pandemic, you know, we maybe would have connected more. I think it's important, you know, as an artist, like, when it comes to Phonix, like, you know, I view him as my muse, but, you know, ultimately, you know, I want to show different sides of me. The story doesn't change. It's just different ingredients to use sometimes. So, like, the goal is still the same. Like, there's going to be, you know, Indigo and, you know, Don't Sleep collab. Like, we're all correspondents. So anything else at this point is just a formality, honestly.
I think it takes a certain talent to even rap to a Phonix beat, because sometimes it's a skeleton or an unfinished beat, or maybe you're rapping to it and you think it's a finished beat, but then when the record comes out, it's you on a totally different beat. And it's not like he picks up the phone and says, hey, I changed the beat. You find out when everyone else finds out.
I'm gonna give Phonix some credit. He will let me know, maybe at least I would get like a 24-hour notice, you know. Maybe 3 to 5 business days if you know, the weather's right. But I have so much, you know, trust in him, because he has so much trust in me. So it's seamless whenever we're collaborating. It's not work, you know. He's really great at providing the canvas for me to put my words on, and just as any perfectionist, just as any master of his craft, like, I feel what he does is no different than you know, me as an artist, if I hear a verse and it's the draft, like, if I hear a better way to, you know, approach my flow or, you know, arrange a certain words, I may send a different take back. So, like, I wouldn't do that with any producer, but Phonix isn't that, you know? Like, some folks, you like, some artists, you have to let art, to put it, let, you know, for lack of a better explanation, like, you just got to let him do his thing.
I remember once upon a time, you tweeted Alchemist wanting to do a project. How would that have came together?
Man, I'm still putting that into the universe. It's going to be absolutely crazy. Funny story. I want to say it was 2011. I was down in Atlanta for A3C. I bump into Alk in the elevator. Freeze the fuck up, bro. And I've been kicking myself ever since. So the next time that happens, like we doing this project, bro. Like, I'm putting that into the ether right now.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's listening, excuse me if I'm wrong, but I think Boldy James just kind of came out of nowhere and Alchemist kind of latched onto him. So it's not like he's, you know, he's only going to work with you if you're a household name. Like, he will cultivate. And if you got chemistry, you got chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, I used to listen to Boldy in high school. Boldy's been doing this thing. I remember, like, 07, 08, him, Big Sean, J. Cole, like, what I would maybe refer to, just like you say, I'm from a different generation. So, like, the golden era of the blog, like, Boldy's been doing this thing for a while. But that's a combination, like, I really didn't see coming, but, like, hearing it, I think the first one I heard was Price of Tea in China. I was like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. This absolutely makes sense. And I think Alchemist has, like, that certain ear. Like, he knows what fits. And, like, Phonix is essentially that same way. Like, he knows what fits. Like, I just think about when Phonix was, you know, doing his remixes. That's the perfect example. Like, he has that ear, and not everyone has that. You know what I mean?
Tell me how Lupe Fiasco's The Cool changed your life.
Growing up, like, I was exposed to so much different music. I really feel like by the time I was able to get access to my own music, you tend to, you know, latch on to what sounds good to you and not necessarily, you know, what your parents are listening to, what your older siblings are listening to, older cousins, friends. So the first time I heard Lupe was obviously on that Touch the Sky, but it made me, especially when I got the internet, like, I want to go back. So I went into the Fahrenheit, you know, mixtapes, his first album, but the Cool, that was me, I want to say 9th or 10th grade when The Cool came out, and I was writing, like, bars every day. And I really feel like, as a hip hop fan, whether you know, end up becoming an MC or not, like, you latch on to that certain artist at that one point, and you get that sense of euphoria. And that's one of those albums, and there's a few of them, but The Cool, it just gave me that euphoria. And even the, like, it was always cool that Lupe had so much love from my hometown, being from Chicago. If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear, the crowd is here, and the lights are on, and they wanna show, oh, 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 yeah. If you are, still to this day, like, didn't really get what I feel the respect we deserve. And, like, Lupe was really, especially in my era, one of the first artists that wasn't afraid to show love, or didn't show love to Houston for any capitalization means. And, the bars are just crazy.
What happened 6 months ago where you decided to face your entire self? Because, you know, where you've spent so much of your life running from fear, what in your life started to happen where you start to run towards it?
I'm turning 30 this year, man, and, like, you get to a certain point where you just get tired. And I try to watch my words, especially now, but I still struggle, but I had a really, really bad addiction problem with alcohol. And like February this year, I woke up one morning and I just decided, like, I'm tired of like letting that be the reason I can't operate at the highest version of myself. Like, I'm gonna stop letting that be the reason, like, I can't become comfortable with my darkness. So, you know, I've been clean for about 6 months now. Like, when I say I'm becoming comfortable in the darkness, I feel like one narrative that gets pushed is that, you know, we should be pure and like only look at the bright side. I really feel that only lets you make peace with one side of yourself. Like, we all have a shadow at the end of the day. And I spent a lot of time running from mine. I'm tired of doing that. To know your shadows, to become one with your darkness, brings you more peace because you have more understanding. You have more awareness. You can pick up more on your tendencies, right? It's not to say that every day is like just an amazing day, but me not necessarily being afraid to like tap into my shadows and like really study myself and like understand why I am the way I am, like, it helps. It brings peace. So that's the journey that I'm choosing to be on right now.
The substance abuse problems that you mentioned, was it more so when things got out of hand, your knee-jerk reaction was to turn to a bottle for relief? Like, was it a coping mechanism?
Looking back in retrospective, it's like I didn't even notice it was a problem. Like, when something becomes a part of your routine, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, yeah, I'm just doing the part, like doing what comes natural to me, and like numbing myself, like it just didn't feel right after a while. And like, just, you know, looking at, you know, how my dad is struggling with his health now, man, like that being some generational in my family, you know, like I just really wanted to break that cycle. But yeah, I do feel, you know, that was advice I tapped into initially to cope, because it felt good to kind of just blank out from reality. It does provide a certain euphoria, but that goes away, and then eventually you just keep trying to chase that dragon, right? So yeah, man, I think that's where it started, and it gets to the point where, like, you don't even notice, like, okay, I'm spending a lot of my money on, like, alcohol, beer. Like, it's a part of my grocery list. Like, if I go get gas in my car, like, I gotta go get some beer. If I go to the grocery store, I gotta stop at the liquor store. You know what I mean? Oh, tomorrow gonna be Sunday. Well, yeah, I already got some liquor, but let me just grab some because the store gonna be closed tomorrow. Like, it just finding reasons, right? Like that, to me, like it got to the point where it was unhealthy, and like I wasn't happy with what I was seeing in the mirror.
Is your dad cognizant of that fact? Like, if he listens to your music, does he feel guilt?
That's a good question. Like, me and my dad, we're at peace right now. He's always been supportive of, like, anything that I've wanted to do. He understands the positive and, you know, the not-so-positive impact that he had on my childhood. And, like, we're just at a point where we focused on healing together and, you know, making the best out of the time that we have left, because, like, as I continue to age, like, I'm losing more family members, I'm losing more friends, and, like, the perspective that I get is, like, nothing's really promised, and I can't choose to you know, put myself in a certain type of mindset or have a certain type of leverage or anger that I hold towards someone. Like, it's all up to me at the end of the day. So I don't know if he feels any guilt. I'm sure he may have, but like the main thing I've just been focusing on is like, you know, building our relationship stronger, making it stronger, building on that foundation. It was therapeutic, you know, to get that out. It kind of kicked the door open, for lack of a better term. And we just been, you know, we from two different generations, man. So we just been trying to, you know, work on getting on the same page, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, man. I'm glad to hear that. And are you married now?
Close enough.
Common law marriage?
Yeah. Gotta love Texas.
Are you able to extract anything from your own parents' divorce that you can apply to your relationship to make sure that you don't succumb to the same pitfalls? Or maybe you're on tour overseas and you're interacting, hanging out, performing with A1 and Tiff. Maybe you're observing their partnership and their marriage and their family and how they divide their time and balance their energy, you know?
That's a great question. I think life gives you other people's experiences. Like, I've always been a huge observer. So, you know, there's certain things that I picked up from my parents' relationship. Like, I definitely believe they did love each other, but I also know that, you know, my mom, she's so strong. She didn't want me to, and my sister, to like become another set of kids, you know, with just a single parent household. So she dealt with what she dealt with just to, you know, keep the sense of what was deemed to be a family back then. And my relationship hasn't always been perfect, but the one thing it has taught me is, like, at the end of the day, if this is your person, and when you weigh it all out, if it still feels like it's worth it, like, you have to fight for it. Like, it's not supposed to be, you know, like a Disney movie, right? Like, y'all are, like, not every day is going to be sunny. Like, y'all aren't always going to be on the same page. So I think the one takeaway that I have just from, like, the different relationships, even, like you said, being around A and Tiff, like, that love, if that love is legit the foundation and it's growing from there, I think that's the most important thing. Like, and even with me, as you know, you have to become at peace. You have to know yourself as well, because you, like, knowing yourself and loving yourself, it just makes you more emotionally available for your partner too. So, like, that's just, you know, going back to what I've been building on and how I've been trying to improve on that necessary level.
And your working relationships too. Like, you know, if you email Phonics and you say, it's been a terrible year for me, I'm super depressed, man, send me some beats. He now has to create beats to save your life. That's a tall order. I feel like you get one. Like, you can't approach a producer that way every time you want to do a project. Like, that has to be someone that really deeply cares for you and someone that has your best interest at heart. But that's not how you want to create an album over and over. Because when you send a message like that, it's almost a cry for help. Like, you said to him, if you have any beats, send it my way. If not, I'll understand. And, you know, did you really mean that? If Phonics would have said, hey, man, I feel for you, but I'm busy, would that have created resentment? Because the crazy thing is in that moment, you send that email, you're low. But it's not like you're going to feel better the next day. It takes y'all 2 years to finish the album. And by that time, you could be in a different headspace. You could be dealing with something totally different. You could be doing really good. So imagine you're in a good place, and now you're releasing an album that reflects the bad spot that you were in 2 years ago, and you have to relive all that again.
I mean, I don't think that's the purpose of why I create. And, like, even just to go back, like, if that's, like, I couldn't have resentment. Like, that's his decision. I just know when we first came together on Stories from the Brass Section, like, the feeling I had you know, putting my thoughts to his art, it gave me a certain level of release. Maybe similar to where you just have a really great therapy session. That really, like, it put me in a higher vibration. The point that I was at in my life at that time, to your point, Cello, I wasn't vibrating at the level that I needed to. I don't view it as like a cry for help necessarily. And maybe it was in retrospect. I just know that's someone that artistically I formed a seamless bond with. And, you know, that was a route for me to get what was on my head off of it, what was on my chest, you know, alleviated. And the worst thing he could do, to your point, is say no. But I guess that's like one of those butterfly effect things, right? Who knows what would have happened. But in hindsight, I'm glad we were able to come back together for a second time and create, you know, what I feel is one of the greatest pieces of work in like musical history. Like, and I'm glad I was able to accomplish that with my brother finally.
You know, as you're about to be 30 years old, you know, let's just be braggadocious a little bit. As you enter this new set of tens, are there still parts of you that feel underappreciated, underrated?
Yeah, I've always had that underdog mentality. You know, I'm undersized, I'm underweight, you know, so every level. But at the end of the day, that's not why I create. I made a lot of dope shit with a lot of dope people. And like going into this next chapter, like I feel refreshed. I feel like I'm not even into my prime yet. I'm learning so much more about myself, you know, honing my craft. And I'm just excited to continue to put this shit out here. 'Cause it started at a point where, okay, this was for me to feel better, but like being able to connect with so many amazing people and like seeing how I had the ability to provide a positive impact. Like I really want to get this good music out here and, you know, increase the vibration levels. You know, like I'm just excited. Like I'm gonna always feel like an underdog. We repping Don't Sleep, you know, we repping Indigo Clan. Like this is underground royalty. Like this is the trenches that we come from. You know, that's the mentality I feel anyone could have at any craft that really, really is passionate about what they do, right? So I think so, man. I don't see that ever going away. It's always going
to
be.
It's funny, the juxtaposition of like your old interviews where you used to say, like, I don't need to be at the Grammys. If I can make a comfortable living providing for myself and my family, that's enough. But maybe you want a documentary on Netflix. Maybe you do want a Grammy now. Maybe just being on stage rapping isn't enough. You know, Eminem could still be rapping about doing drugs with his mom. But no, he's getting Lifetime Achievement Award, living in a $50 million mansion. I think maybe at some point, maybe perspectives change, right? Maybe you need to say, hey, I'm underrated. What we're doing is good. I know it's good. I just need more ears to recognize it's good. And then I'll be at the top of the mountain. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, I don't think you're throwing, you know, humbleness out the window. I think it's okay to feel that way.
Yeah. And I think that's an extension of the company that I surround myself with. It's good to have positivity around you, right? It's not like, you know, my brothers are gassing me up, but it does make you feel good. And it's not like that's still the same thing. Like whatever, I'm at peace, Cello, in the sense that, you know, whatever is meant for me is gonna attract to me if I go for it, right? I'm fine with that. Success to me is like still being able to love what I do and to make music and to continue to connect with amazing people. Me being able to do what I love the most and, you know, put food on the table, that's success for me. Whatever else comes, like it's gonna come, but I don't need to be like this huge superstar, man. I love music. Like that was my first love. It was my first language, and I just want to continue to be able to exist in this realm and, you know, really represent my culture as best as I can.
What if that's you, and what if God King Preach wants to win a Grammy, and what if Devontae wants to go platinum?
That's the beauty of Indigo Clan. Like, we all support each other. Like, and we do have different, you know, goals and different needs, and I'm not gonna stand in the way anything any of my brothers want to do, right? The least I could do is be supportive, because I can only control my own narrative. In this life, like, you get a beginning, you can't control that. You get an end, you can't control that. Everything in the middle, though, like, you in the driver's seat. These are two people that, like, I connect with outside of music. And we've had these talks. Like, if you ever get the ball, like, run with that shit. You know what I mean? And we got you. Like, we, even with me going across the pond, like, I haven't really been able to, you know, maybe incorporate my brother so much, but everything that I'm doing is for me and my loved ones, and those are my loved ones, right? So my success is their success, and vice versa. So that's the beauty of what we're truly doing. The only competition is the reflection that you see when you look in the mirror.
Obviously, everyone's happy with the way Over the Woods came out, even if you guys have different definitions of success. And I think that's a testament to your friendship and your cohesiveness as professionals as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's one thing, like, listening to the album, that I'm really excited for my supporters to hear. It's, you know, I kind of said on the Trophies record, you know, three names with three styles, from written to them freestyles. Like, we're three artists from the same city, from three different sides of towns, three different ideals. But the root of this is, like, our real kinship, like, our real brotherhood. You know what I mean? Like, it's always, like, regardless of where anybody goes, the foundation is always going to be Indigo. You know what I mean? And, like, as y'all tap into this album, like, you'll hear how, like, each individual artist carries. Like, Devontae has this certain presence. Like, it doesn't matter the track. Like, he has that certain charisma. He has those chameleon-like abilities. Like, he, like, whatever he wanted to do, like, I truly believe he can expand in it when it comes to the artistry. The knowledge that, like, God King drops, the jewels he drops on his track, like, the thoughts, processes that he's bringing, like, it's like he's in his own realm with it. So, again, like, why not bring that all together? Like, we're all equally dope.
What up, man? This is God King Preach. I'm just tapping in, man, just to, you know, provide a little information about Indigo Clan. We were at an open mic at this thing called Kickback Sundays when we met Anti Lily. And I don't even think we heard him rap, but he just had this cool vibe about him. And from there, I think Devontae and Lily, they got close just because they stayed on the same side. And, you know, they kind of vibed. He would tell me about him a little bit, and I was like, yo, you know, I want to meet him. So we kind of, you know, we'll meet him again. And so we kind of just linked maybe a time or two, kicked it, played some video games and shit, talked shit a little bit. We ain't do no rapping, but we all knew we all had the same passion. So we just kind of followed that and supported each other throughout the years. And it just turned into this, what we know as the Indigo Clan, which is more just about us than it is about the music. The music is just something that we all happen to do. But yeah, so, you know, Drake, he's like the youngest of us, but he kind of had that old vibe about him, an older vibe, like he been here before, you know what I'm saying? So he kind of fit in right with us. Devontae, you know, me and him, we more of the high heads, you feel me? But some kind of way it meshed well in the friendship, because we all have each other's backs and we all kind of been through things together and you know, been supportive of each other and been there for each other when we were down or when we had life events and all kind of stuff. because Devontae was like, he was the best man at my wedding. In terms of this Indigo Clan project, though, I guess we had got to the point where we were like, man, let's just try, you know, let's put some music together as a group, or, you know, as us, really. And that's what we did when the pandemic came. Devontae just happened to be on his phone one day and he sent us this rap he recorded. And I was like, damn, it sound good, you know, whatever. He was like, man, I did that on my phone. And up until that point, I had never recorded myself, but I took it upon myself from then to start trying. So some of the project, or some of the verses from the project, at least on my aspect, was recorded like on my iPhone before I got my equipment. And then I migrated over to my Rode mic and my monitors and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Was sending records back and forth during the pandemic. We couldn't see each other or get into the studio how we wanted. So we just sent stuff back and forth and really just tried to make the best out of a situation that was difficult, you know. I'm proud of what we did. I know, you know, the next time out, man, we'll do something even greater. But this is just a testament to us coming through that pandemic and still maintaining that brotherhood, just the solidarity and really the audacity to just continue to create, even though life is throwing all these curveballs at us. In terms of what I have going on, though, I released this project called Lord Have Mercy, which, man, is kind of, I mean, it's my first project in about 5 years. But I feel like it's a reintroduction of who I am as a person, because all of my older music was more so just, aside from like freestyles and my mixtape stuff, my album, Higher Learning, and my EPs, they were more so about my thought processes and where I was as a person trying to find my way. But this Lord Have Mercy EP produced by Things With Todd is really just something we put together just on a whim. And it seems to be working, but it's a dope project, man, where I just get to talk about my life and really just throw in little tidbits and maybe about just my perspective in terms of organized religion in some aspects. And also just, you know, just really giving people those raps, like them hard raps that I'm capable of doing that I maybe don't get the opportunity to do often. So, you know, whenever you get the chance, man, just check out God King Preach. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter and all of that. Also, search me on all the streaming platforms as God King Preach. Check out Lord Have Mercy. Definitely check out Over the Woods by Indigo Clan.
Over the Woods, the debut album from my team, Indigo Clan. That's myself. That's Devontae Hunter. That's God King Preach. What you're going to hear is Houston. You're going to hear underground Houston, right? You already know what to expect from me, but I'm so excited to give my brothers the platform to really shine. It's going into the mindset. Like, when you come from the underground and you plant those seeds rise. Your next level, you looking through the trees. Sometimes you can't see through the trees. So you have to change your mindset. You have to vibrate higher. So we took it over the woods. So we're really excited for you guys to hear our thoughts, our vision. And that's really what this project is. It's a representative of us as brothers, you know, while we're doing this, while we're creating, what we're expecting. And, you know, through these tracks, I really feel like it's represented. I want to give love to all of the producers, everyone who contributed, man, like much love. And it's going to be available on all digital platforms. It'll be available on Bandcamp. Really tap in. We really want to know what you guys think. This is the first of many, but it's the first, and I'm excited for y'all to hear.
Man, please don't take 2 years in between messages to reach out, man. You know, I'm always a day one supporter, and I'm one of your biggest fans. Congratulations on 6 months, too, of sobriety.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And yeah, it's not going to take 2 years anymore. And hey, Cello, congratulations to you, man. Seriously, like, watching your platform, you know, continue to grow, seeing the work that you're putting in that hasn't gone unnoticed, man. So I wanted to take the time to give you your kudos and drop some flowers at your feet.
Wow, you made my week, man. Thank you so much.
No doubt, bro. Much love to you.